Good evening, everyone. This is Brother Brandon coming to you live from Fayetteville, Arkansas, with another Fishers of Men video broadcast. And it is good to be here with you this evening. And tonight, we're going to be wrapping up our series on the three categories of sin. And we're going to be talking about the pride of life. And it's such a big topic. Got a lot of stuff to get through tonight. Well, I don't have notes, and I'm not as prepared as I should be, but we're gonna go through scripture tonight and talk about a lot of stuff tonight. So just bear with me, and let's see here. So with that said, we're just gonna go ahead and start with some singing. Then we'll get into announcements, and then we'll get into prayer requests. And then we'll get into the message, and then we'll get into, and then after that, we'll close off with a hymn. All right, so we're going to start. I'm going to start with hymn number 16 in my hymn book, How Great Thou Art. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. And when I think that God His Son, not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. When Christ shall come, with shout of acclamation, and take me home what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Amen. God is good. Amen. We'll sing another hymn, and then we'll get into announcements and prayer requests, and we'll go from there. Amen. let's see here. I think number 20. Let's see, what was number 20 again? Okay, that's going to be sung at the end of the broadcast. But let's go to hymn number 54. We're going to sing hymn 54. Great is thy faithfulness. Hymn 54. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Hang on, I messed up there for a second. Bear with me. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed in thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime in harvest, sun, moon, and stars and their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Amen. Has the Lord been faithful to you today? Because the Lord is faithful every day. Amen. And God is always faithful and true to His Word. And we'll sing hymn number 20 at the end of the broadcast. But now we'll move into... We're going to move into announcements, which we don't have any announcements. And prayer requests, if you will get... So since we don't have announcements, we'll get into prayer requests. As always, pray for me and keep me in prayer with my videos and, you know, just, you know, with me, with my, I got hit in the face, I was hit in the face by a, broom ball, which is not the lightest thing, so I kind of have a little bit of black and kind of, I don't know how you would put it, but I have some kind of, I just got bruising. But my glasses is kind of a little weird, but for the most part, my glasses feel fine. It's just sometimes I think I go a little bit paranoid. So pray for me, for that, and pray for my videos and my ministry. Pray for just all that God would have me to do and say. Pray for the message. Pray for, that people would hear the message. Pray for those who need to hear it, and pray that, God will just have His way and will, amen. We need God's will to be done, and God's will be done, amen. So you pray for me, pray for Brother Joey, as I know he has pain, so pray for him and pray for comfort for him. I know someone that is in need of salvation, so pray for him for salvation. There's a fellow sister that needs prayer for lost family members for salvation. Please do pray for a fellow brother, as he's kind of going through a lot, so pray for him. Also pray for salvation for lost family members as well. Also do pray for friends and family that do watch these videos. Pray that, you know, that they would be fed, convicted, that they might grow. You know, pray that, you know, that this would be a blessing in their lives, as well as those who do watch these videos and are blessed by them. Amen. So keep them in prayer. And with that said, that's all the prayer requests that I have. If you have any prayers or praises, feel free to mention them in the comments section or just message me. Doesn't really matter. It's up to you. We will, you know, it's completely up to you. So you decide if you want. Sorry about that. I'm just a little... I was a little bit distracted there for a second because I thought this light was completely out, and it's not. So that's good. anyway, so please pray for those people and pray for our fellow brothers and sisters. Amen. So other than that, I think that's all I got. So with that said, I guess we'll go ahead and we'll dive right into the message. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 John. 1 John, chapter 2, verse 16. 1 John, chapter 2, verse 16. Oops, a little bit too far. There we go. 1 John, chapter 2. And we're going to read in verse 16. Okay. It says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes... and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." Amen. So, excuse me. So we see here, so we've been going through a series called The Three Categories of Sin. Okay. And so we talked about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and then tonight we're getting into the pride of life. And there's some areas that we're going to cover in as to the pride of life. And I got some examples I want us to go to. And so we'll kind of just take it as it is. Amen. So the pride of life. Well, the pride of life is a very dangerous sin. Okay. Pride is very dangerous because pride can cause a man to fall And not just fall on, I mean, they will, it will, it's a dangerous fall. Amen. And so, pride is actually mentioned in your Bibles. Let's just take a look at here. Pride is mentioned 49 times in your King James Bibles. Okay? And so we're going to kind of talk about pride this evening. And we're going to talk about getting to some examples. Now, pride, let me tell you about pride, okay? Pride is like the... Now, last week we talked about the lust of the eyes. And we talked about how that was covetousness. And we see that being covetousness is a form of pride. Okay, it is. Now, why is this? Because when you sin, when a person sins, whether you realize it or not, we tend to just want to do what we want to do. We have selfish ambitions. We just want to do what we want to do and not what God wants. And even for a lost person, when you sin and do things, what you're saying is, well, I don't really care about anything else but my sin. And you may not say it that way, but your actions speak louder than your words. Okay? So let me give you an example. Let's see here. I gotta find it first. Let's see. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. It says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Okay? So, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And witchcraft, it says that you must do. Okay? Now, rebellion is pride. Now, why is that? Because rebellion says, forget you, I'll do whatever I want. Okay? And witchcraft basically says, I'll do it myself, I don't need God's help. So, you have all this works. You have works. Witchcraft is all about works. Okay? Rebellion is something that will... Pride is what feels rebellion. Okay? Remember that. Pride is that which feels, okay? Or it ignites rebellion. Okay? If you don't believe me, turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Okay? Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 14. Okay, Isaiah 14. And we're going to read verses 12 through 14. It says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount on the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And verse 15 says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the size of the pit. Okay, so in Isaiah 14, 12 through 14, if you count the five I wills, okay, if you count all the five I wills, you have a total of five. This is Satan's five-part plan. It's his five-part conspiracy plan. Okay, you realize that first of all, he was prideful. He wants to be worshipped as God. okay? But we also see that he is rebellious towards the Most High God. And he's rebellious because he wants to be God. He doesn't want to serve God. He wants to be God. So you see that he is rebellious, okay? Which rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, okay? Witchcraft says, I will do this, I will do this. And you see five I wills in Satan's heart. Satan's deadly thing that tripped him up was his pride. And don't think for one second that Satan can't use pride against you, because he will. He will. Okay, pride is very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. Okay, let's take a look at Nabal. Do we see any pride in him? Well, of course we do. Whoops. Let's take a look at Nabal, okay? Turn with me to 1 Samuel 25. 1 Samuel 25. Okay. 1 Samuel 25. And if we go back a little bit, let's go to 1 Samuel 25 and let's read in verse 2. It says, and there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great. And he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. Okay, so Nabal represents your flesh. He's wicked. He's churlish. He's in rebellion against God. Amen? Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. Now, knowing that we know that he is a wicked man, okay? Let's go to verse 36. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing less or more until the morning light. You see the pride in him? He held a feast that like of a king. And he wasn't king. Nabal wasn't king. David was king. But he was having all these feasts and parties like as if he was something, and he's not. You see the pride in him. Nabal had a lot of pride. And you find out that his heart turned to stone, and 10 days later he died. Okay? He was a proud man. Okay, think about that. Pride in your flesh. Okay? If you're proud, you're feeding your flesh. And when you're proud, you have an attitude of, look at me, look at what I'm doing. And you say, forget God, forget everything else, I'll do whatever I want. Which is rebellion, which the Bible says is as the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now, Let's go and look at Goliath. That is, if I can spell his name. Oops. Here we go. Goliath. Okay. Turn with me to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. And, let's see here. Let's go, let's see. Let's go to verse 4. It says, "And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span, and he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him, and he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall he be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we might fight together." Okay, think about this. Goliath said, "I defy." Now, don't get me wrong. Okay? We should defy the Pope. The Pope is not God. We should defy wickedness. Okay? Our founding father said, rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. So to rebel against tyrants is not prideful. But when you've got a wicked man that wants to defile everything, wants people to fight him. Think about this. Goliath is wanting, he wants to fight somebody. And by the way, Goliath is known as a champion. You know that word champion? If I am right, champion is only mentioned once. No. Oh. Oh. Okay, I think we're going somewhere with this. You know, champion is mentioned 3 times in your King James Bibles. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life. And by the way, every single occurrence of the word champion is found in 1 Samuel 17. The first occurrence is in verse 4 that we just read. "And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span." The second occurrence of the word is, "And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion of the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them." The last occurrence, it says, "Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath, therefore, and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled." Do you want to know something, folks? Goliath is a representation of the Antichrist. Goliath was a very proud giant. He was wanting to fight anybody of Israel. So defiant, so arrogant, so prideful to stand up and said, Give me a man to fight with. You know that word champion? The only time that word champion is ever used in the King James Bible is in reference to a prideful giant named Goliath. You know that song, "We Are the Champions." You want to tell? You want to know something about that? I don't think you really should be singing that, because that word champion is in correlation with a giant named Goliath, a proud giant. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Goliath defied the armies of the living God. That's what he did. And if you don't believe me, let's read on a little bit more. It says in verse 23, "And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the man of Israel said, Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel." Goliath was a prideful giant who defied God, who defied the armies of the living God, defied Israel. And Goliath just didn't care. Goliath was a prideful giant. Goliath was a champion. And he was proud of it. Pride will lead people nowhere except for destruction. Amen. Let's go to 1 Samuel. And we're going to go I think it's 1 Samuel 15. Actually, let's see here. Did I find it here? You know, I made a mistake, and I said something that I was wrong at. When I talked about Nabal, I said that Nabal was not king, but David was. And actually, I think at this time, Saul was still king. So David had not been king yet, but Saul was king. David was not. So I misspoke. Unless I could be wrong again. But it looks like Saul was still king because Saul was still alive. Okay. So I apologize for that. David was not king at that time. Saul was. Just thought I would bring that because I was wrong on that one. But let's see here. We need to 2 Samuel. Let's Let's take a look at something here. We need to go back. Okay, so 1 Samuel, let's go back to 15. So I was right, 1 Samuel 15. Okay, now, I want us to, let's take a look at Saul. So God told Saul to destroy the Amalekites. He was supposed to destroy everything, wipe everything out, and all that stuff, okay? And the reason being was because the Amalekites never repented. They had judgment coming, and they refused to repent. So God told Saul to completely wipe them out. Now, let's start here in chapter 15, verse 10. It says, "Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and has gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord." Let's stop right there. Actually, not yet. In verse 14 it says, "And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" Saul was so puffed up with pride. He had the nerve to go to Samuel and say, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord." And basically Samuel said, basically told him, "No, you didn't." He didn't say that. He didn't say, "No, you didn't." He basically asked Saul some questions to basically get him to think that he, to get him to think that, you know, to get him thinking with the fact that he didn't keep the commandment of the Lord. He broke it. "And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey, and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. So in Saul's pride, he thinks that he obeyed the voice of the Lord, but in actuality, he did not. Can I tell you something? Pride blinds you. Don't get proud. Pride will blind a man. But the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel has said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Listen, at first it was, I obeyed the voice of the Lord. I did this and this and this. Now he realizes he sinned. But now it's like he acknowledges he sins, but then he says, well, it was because he feared the people. You see Saul's pride still coming out? Well, I feared the people. You know, the fear of man brings a snare. The fear of man brings a snare. And when you fear men over you fear God, that's pride. That's pride. Don't ever think that just because you fear God, I'm sorry. Just because you fear man, that you can claim to fear God. You can't have it both ways. You will either fear God or you will fear man. And if you fear man, you're puffed up with pride. Because you don't want to know what God has. You'd rather please man than please God. And the moment you become a man pleaser is the moment you get puffed up with pride. Because man will stroke your ego and will do anything to get you to stay where you're at. And the spirit behind that is the devil. The devil will try to get you by falling in pride. You're better off to fear God than you do fear man. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and rent it. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom from Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Okay, let me tell you something. Saul was a very prideful man. And his pride caused him to fall. And it was a deep fall. It wasn't just a, whoops, I tripped and fell, gotta get back up. No, it was, he fell flat. Saul was a prideful man. He had so much pride in his heart. God said, I'm done. I'm done with Saul. I'm going to tell you something. Pride can really do damage to people. They really can. It really can. Pride will blind you. Pride will rob you of discernment. Pride will take you down. pride is poison. Pride is like drinking poison and expecting to live. Pride is like drinking poison and expecting to live. That's what pride is like. Okay. Let's take a look at what the Bible says about pride. First occurrence of pride is Leviticus chapter 26, verse 19. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. Amen. Now, we won't go through every single occurrence, but we will go through quite a bit of it. In Psalm chapter 10, verse 4, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Psalm 31, 20, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. And Psalms 36:11, let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. And Psalm 59:12, for the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, and for cursing and lying which they speak. And Psalm 73:6, it says, therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. And Proverbs 8:13. Got to go down here a little bit. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 11:2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs 13:10, it says, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advises wisdom. Do you know? Do you want to know something? when you're playing sports, and when you want to act all macho, wacho, bunch of angry zealots that want to try to beat the other team, and you say, "Look at me," and the other team says the same thing, look at me, and then there's pride. Then you get all these contentions and fights because of pride. You know, you want to know something? I think the number one cause of fights is pride. Do you know why? Because when two people get it at each other's throats, one of them wants to be right, and the other one wants to be, you know, you have two people that want to be right, and so they'll do anything they can to be right. That's dangerous, folks. Pride will bring you down. Proverbs 14:3, and the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. And Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I want you to consider Saul for a minute. Okay, you know, consider both Saul and Goliath. Goliath was standing there defying the armies of the living God. You know what happened? Goliath's destruction. God used David to kill Goliath. Goliath was a proud man. So was Saul. Saul was a proud man, which led to his destruction. And that destruction was blaspheming the Holy Ghost, consulting a witch, consulting a familiar spirit, which resulted in his death. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low. You see what I'm talking about? pride will bring you down. A man's pride shall bring him low, and honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Amen. This is what Jesus says. And he said, that which cometh out of a man, that defileth man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. Adulteries, fornications, murderers, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Okay. Now, as for speaking as a qualification of a bishop, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. When there's pride, then when there's excuse me. When there is pride, then comes destruction. Okay. When there's pride, then comes destruction. So, I think that's all I've kind of got for tonight. But here's the thing. As we see that pride is a dangerous, dangerous thing. It's dangerous. Okay? Pride is in the root of a lot of causes. Okay? Think about what's going on right now in the political arena. Without getting too political, think about what's going on in the political arena right now. You've got attempts at socialism being done right now, and we're losing our rights. Do you know why? Because you've got a lot of politicians, both on the Democratic and Republican sides, that are so prideful, they don't want to give up their power. And so they'll do whatever they can to try to run America to the ground. It's because of pride that these wicked people in D.C. are getting away with stealing, bad-mouthing, bat-biting, bearing false witness against other people, and a whole bunch of other things. It's pride. But you want to know something? You may think they're getting away with it, but eventually they're going to stand before Almighty God. And they're going to get judged. They haven't gotten away with nothing. Okay? Because one of these days, they will stand before Almighty God. And they will be judged. But pride. Okay? Covetousness. Okay, think about it. Covetousness is like at the epicenter of socialism. Well, so is pride. Pride is a result of a lot of sins. Adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, rebelliousness, arrogance. You know, all these different sins, you know, pride has a key factor in a lot of sins. Thievery, murders, deceit, gossiping, you name it. You know, even pride can be simply just doing whatever you want because you want to do it. You know, there's a saying that whatever feels good, you should just do. Well, the problem with that whole, well, if it feels good, just do it, that results in pride. Do you know why? Because that says, I'm not going to do whatever God wants me to do. I'm going to do whatever feels good. I'll just do whatever I want. Remember, Satan has 5 I wills. And the downfall of Satan was his pride. It was. Okay? Don't be prideful. Don't get prideful. Amen? So here's what I want to do. Won't go too long. But listen. If you're not saved today, today's the day to get saved. Tomorrow may be too late. And by the way, if you don't mind me saying, if you're lost and you're not saved, don't get the mindset that, oh, I'll just wait till tomorrow because I can just always do it tomorrow. Or I'll just wait till next week. Okay, don't do that. That's pride. If you have this mindset that, well, I'll just put it off till later, that's pride. Don't get prideful like that. If the Lord is legitimately working on your heart and convicting you of sin, okay, God knows if you're going to take that or not. If you don't want to take it, fine. But don't, if you are going to take it, don't wait till tomorrow. Do it now. Because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. So if you're not saved, okay, if you want to know how to get saved, it's very simple. It's call upon the, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is who he says he is, and that he came to do what he said he was going to come do, and that he raised, and if you believe that he rose from the grave, on the third day, you'll be saved. Okay? All you gotta do is cry out to God. Ask him to save you. Ask him to save you. Ask him for forgiveness of your sins. Ask him to save you. Ask him to come into your heart. But do not wait. For we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Amen? Don't wait. Get it settled tonight. And if you cry out to God and you ask him to save you and you ask him to forgive you, okay, God will save you. Okay? Ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door shall be open. Seek and you shall find. But don't wait. Okay? Don't wait. Don't get puffed up with your pride and ego. Don't wait. Get it settled tonight. If you're listening to me and you are a believer and you're born again, okay, I just want to let you know that I love you. Okay? If you have times in your life where you say, Lord, I don't want to do this, or not today, just do it tomorrow, or you just neglect to do something that the Lord has instructed you to do, okay, chances are there's probably pride in that. And what you need to do is repent of your sin and ask the Lord to forgive you. Okay, let the Lord chasten you and work it out of you. I know the Lord's still working on me. I have my moments of pride. Okay? I'm not perfect either. But when we do find ourselves prideful, we need to repent. We need to get it right with God get right with God, we also need to get right with others when we wrong them. Amen. Let's not be these hypocritical, two-faced Christians that are prideful, thinking that we don't sin anymore and that we're holier than thou. Let me tell you something. All you so-called Christians that have a holier-than-thou attitude, you guys are a bunch of hypocritical, you guys are just a bunch of hypocritical, prideful people. And you need to repent. And born-again Christians, please do not have a holier-than-thou attitude. We are susceptible to that. Remember, knowledge puffeth up. Just because you have knowledge doesn't mean that you're better than someone else. Okay? Knowledge puffeth up. Knowledge can cause a person to be prideful. So please don't get prideful. But let the Lord humble you. Let the Lord humble you. Okay? Jesus says that those who exalt themselves will be abased, but those who humble themselves will be exalted. Amen. So let's not get puffed up with pride, okay? So, while I just want you guys to go before the Lord, take some time in prayer, and I'm going to sing a hymn here, and then we'll close out for the night. It's hymn number 20. It's Revive Us Again. And as I sing this, I want you to take some time to pray. And if the Lord is dealing with you, please do pray. Do not wait. Let's get it right today. Amen. We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for Thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with Thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. Amen. Revive us again. And, I don't know. My eyes are kind of tired. I don't know. I'm just probably tired in that today. I've been tired all day. But listen, guys, I love you. Okay, I'm not trying to be mean or pick on you. I love you. As a reminder, this Friday we'll be getting into Romans chapter 10. Okay, Romans chapter 10. I can't believe we're already in chapter 10 already. Woof. Time's flown by. So Romans chapter 10 on Friday, okay? I don't know what I'm going to preach a week from today. Just, you know, I'm not sure what I'm going to be preaching on then. Pray for me on that. I don't know what I'm going to be doing. We're actually at the end of this series. So we'll be moving on to something else. Okay, so pray for me on that. Pray for me for Friday as I go through Romans chapter 10. And I love you guys. I hope this is a blessing to you. Pray and hope that you got something out of this. Pray and hope that that there might be lives that might be changed or lives that will come to know Christ as a result of this. But listen, guys, I love you guys. Hope this was a blessing to you. Hopefully that you'll pass this video on and that you'll share it with others. Amen. So with that said, this is Brother Brandon. I'm signing off for the evening. I love you guys. God bless you. You guys have a good rest of your weekend and have a blessed week. And we'll see you all on Friday. God bless you guys. See ya. Love you. Bye.